Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
What practice means. What practice means in the Zen tradition. I want to share a reading to open. What matters in life is simple. Are you free and loving? Are you bringing your gifts to the world that so badly needs them? The joyful news of the Buddha's way is that you can do so. You can live with freedom and compassion in every part of your life. Mistakenly, people associate Buddhist teachings exclusively with sitting quietly in meditation. This error reflects our divided society, where the body is relegated to the gym, work to the office, healing to the hospital, enjoyment to 2 weeks vacation, and the sacred to weekly visits to church or temple. The wholeness of awakening is the message here. All aspects of your life are the precise place to find freedom and compassion. From politics and parenting, to meditation and education, to poetry and art, every part of your life is sacred. This very life, your work, your family, your community, is the only place for awakening. In Zen, this is called no part left out. This was the Buddha's message to all he met. For 45 years, the Buddha wandered the dusty byways and cool woods of India, meeting with farmers and mothers, merchants and politicians, priests and scholars, cobblers, gardeners, barbers and weavers, artisans and kings. His instructions could not have been more clear. All parts of your human experience must be included in an awakened life. Are we bringing our gifts to a world that so badly needs them? Our everyday practice is a gift. And I think there's a mistake that's often made in thinking that practice is just for ourselves, that practice is for our own benefit, for our own self-improvement somehow, that for our own gain. But Zen, Dharma practice, is not a self-improvement project. It's not a self-improvement tool. It is, however, about really and truly examining the self and becoming truly acquainted with the self, truly getting to know ourselves. It's about knowing ourselves and our relationship with the world around us, going beyond the delusion of separation that normally drives and rules our life and our relationship with the world around us. From the Mahayana Buddhist viewpoint, practice is never just about this small, limited self. And there's also often a mistake of thinking that our practice really makes no difference out in the world, that at best it only perhaps makes a difference for each one of us individually, but it doesn't make a difference out there in the world. This is a mistake. This is a mistaken view. And this again, I think, is often driven by that delusion of separation, this delusion of a separate self that is completely independent of others, completely independent of the natural world around us. Because when we remain rather isolated and self-protected in this little bubble that we create for ourselves, this small circle that we create, then it becomes quite natural, of course, to think that our practice is quite limited to perhaps just me. We create this separation. We create this view, we have this viewpoint that there's practice, and that there's practice over here. And then there's the rest of the world out here, the rest of my daily life out here. This little bubble of practice, and then this entire life out there. And when we take this mistaken view, of course, it's easy for us to think that our practice is limited to just this little bubble of me, and that it doesn't make an impact, perhaps, out in the world, that it doesn't make an impact with others. It becomes very easy for us to miss the impact of our practice, both individually and collectively as Sangha, the impact that our practice can have in the world. But like all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our words and deeds, our practice ripples out into the world. This is part of the law of karma, our actions, cause and effect. Every action, every choice that we make has effects. Effects that often do not just remain here with me, with this small self, within this little bubble that I often create, separating my small self from the world around me. Our practice, our skillful efforts, often have very far-reaching, unknowable, and immeasurable effects in the world around us. And we may not always see this. We may not always see or realize the effects of our practice on others in the world around us. And in fact, we may quite often not directly see the impacts, but we often don't see the impacts, be they positive or negative, that our actions can have on others, that they can have in the world around us. And we may sometimes think that the effects of our practice are perhaps quite small or minimal, but we really don't know this to be true. We don't really know the impacts, the reach of our practice. And nor do we as Zen students, as Zen practitioners, we don't put a focus on highlighting or measuring the effects of our practice, keeping tabs on the effects of our practice, the impact of our practice. We don't grasp at results. We don't grasp at favorable gains or outcomes. But our practice ripples out into the world, sometimes in ways seen, oftentimes, perhaps, in ways unseen, and oftentimes, especially by ourselves. We often don't see the impacts, the effects of our practice, but others may see it. Others may see it very clearly. Others may feel it. Others may be impacted by it. It reminds me of a story that I recently shared on one of our Thursday evening Dharma discussions. This was a story that I heard some time ago, and Kiyose recently mentioned this story about a little girl who walks out onto a beach and she sees hundreds and hundreds of starfish that have washed ashore. And there's an older gentleman also standing on the beach, just kind of looking at this scene, shaking his head. The little girl simply walks out onto the beach. She picks up one of the starfish, calmly walks it over to the ocean, and puts it back in the ocean. The older gentleman just kind of looks at her and smiles and says, "You know, that's not really going to make much of a difference." And she looks at him and she says, "But it'll make a difference to that one. It'll make a difference to that one." And so this story reminds me of the impact that our practice can have in the world around us. And if you remember nothing else from this evening's talk, which is perfectly okay, but if you remember nothing else, I want each one of you to remember this and to commit it to memory. Your practice matters. Our practice matters. Our skillful efforts day in and day out, however small or simple they might be, matter in a world that often seems to be on fire and sometimes raging like a runaway fire. Pema Chodron says that in studying Shantideva's way of the Bodhisattva, she said to herself, "I realized that ordinary people like us can make a difference in a world desperately in need of help." The teachings of the great Zen masters and ancestors of our tradition point to how it is in our simple and seemingly mundane everyday activities that our practice flourishes and our practice is realized or actualized in the world. Chopping wood, carrying water. It is in these simple, mundane activities, in our everyday activities, that our practice flourishes in the world. This is the true message of Zen practice, that it is in our everyday living that our innate wisdom becomes manifest. It becomes actualized in the world. The late Zen teacher Charlotte Joko Beck had two beautiful expressions that she often used in her teaching. And in fact, she used both of these expressions as titles for two of her books. One was Everyday Zen. She referred to everyday Zen. This was her practice. This was her teaching, everyday Zen. The other was Nothing Special, Living Zen. She described Zen practice in this way. She said, "It is nothing special. It is just living Zen. Each and every day we live this Zen practice. Nothing special about it, just living it." And Norman Fisher Roshi, a teacher who I very much admire and follow quite a bit, he's a former abbot, a co former co-abbot of the San Francisco Zen Center, but he now has his own practice, which he named Everyday Zen. He loved this expression from Charlotte Joko Beck, and he named his practice the Everyday Zen Society. And Norman Fisher Roshi says, "The Zen temple is your life, your relationships, your work, your mind, your heart. That is the temple. You are always practicing there. We come together as Sangha to encourage each other in that practice." And Zen Master Dogen, our great ancestor, Dogen Zenji, pointed to this in so many of his teachings. He pointed to this very teaching of everyday Zen, of everyday practice. And I'd like to share just a small excerpt from one of Dogen's essays from the Shobogenzo. This essay is titled The Gyobutsu Iiji, translated as On the Everyday Behavior of a Buddha Doing His Practice. Before I read it, I just want to say that, of course, we know that we've developed a very patriarchal society. And so many of our ancient scriptures and writings often will refer to he and his. You'll hear this constantly, he and his. These essays from the Shobogenzo, of course, they reflect the time in which they were written, and they often reflect this. But as I share this excerpt, I'm going to change the he and his to there, because I feel that this is more appropriate. In really recognizing and respecting all of the many great women ancestors and all of our many great women students and practitioners. And so this reading is from Dogen's Gyobutsu Iiji, On the Everyday Behavior of a Buddha Doing His Practice. All Buddhas, without exception, make full use of their everyday behavior for their practice. This is what is meant by a Buddha doing their practice. A Buddha doing their practice does not refer to a Buddha's realizing enlightenment or to a Buddha's transforming themselves for the sake of helping others. Nor does it refer to a Buddha as the embodiment of the Dharma or to a Buddha as others see them embodied. It is beyond the state of a Buddha at their initial realization or at their fundamental realization. And it is beyond the state of a Buddha in their inherent enlightenment or in their going beyond being enlightened. A Buddha who is equivalent to any of these can never stand shoulder to shoulder with a Buddha who is doing their practice. Keep in mind that Buddhas, being within the Buddha's way, do not go looking for realization. Becoming proficient in one's daily conduct whilst on the path towards Buddhahood is what is meant by a Buddha just doing their practice. It is not something that is even dreamt of by those who are, say, Buddhas as embodiments of the Dharma. Because this Buddha who is doing their practice manifests the four modes of behavior in everything they do. They manifest these modes right out in the open. Before they speak, they give a hint of their spiritual activity, which is woven into whatever they do. This activity goes beyond time or place or being Buddha or doing some practice. If you are not a Buddha doing your practice, you will not let go of your attachment to Buddha or your attachment to Dharma, and you will be grouped with those poor ones who deny that Buddha and Dharma can be found within themselves. And so Dogen really points to this fundamental truth. In just the opening lines of this essay, he points to this truth. He says, all Buddhas, without exception, make full use of their everyday behavior for their practice. This is what is meant by a Buddha doing their practice. A Buddha doing their practice does not refer to a Buddha's realizing enlightenment or to a Buddha's transforming themselves for the sake of helping others. Dogen is saying that it isn't just about becoming enlightened, it isn't just about becoming awakened, and it isn't about being completely transformed all at once. Our practice is what is taking place each and every day. It is what is happening right in front of us each and every day. And that transformation that we can experience through practice is always unfolding. It is unfolding each and every day. This is what is meant by a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, you and I, doing our practice every day to the best of our ability in all aspects of our lives. Practice isn't something abstract. It isn't something that is apart from our daily activities, our daily conduct. Dogen says that becoming proficient in one's daily conduct whilst on the path towards Buddhahood is what is meant by a Buddha just doing their practice. Dharma practice isn't just something that we study, it isn't just something that we believe in. Dharma practice is what we do. It is what we do. It is how we live. It is how we carry ourselves in our daily life with no part left out. This is how our Dharma practice comes alive. It is how we bring it to life. It is how our Dharma practice is manifest in our everyday life, our everyday action. And when we look at the Dharma teachings, all of the foundational, fundamental Dharma teachings, the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path, the Four Noble Truths, they all inevitably bring us back to relationship with the world around us. When we look at the Noble Eightfold Path, it is about being in the world each and every day. It is about how we live our lives, our everyday lives, in everything that we do, each and every day. It is about being in the world, bringing our practice into the world, into our daily lives. These teachings bring us back to the how we can live skillfully and ethically with the world around us. How do we make wholesome choices, choices that are of the whole, not of the individual? How do we take beneficial actions that are in service not just of ourselves, but in service of all those around us? And so we come back to that opening question, how do each and every one of us bring our gifts, this gift of practice, to a world that so badly needs it? To a world that so badly needs the gifts that we bring? In other words, in what ways, however small or subtle, do you bring your practice to a world that so badly needs your practice? And when we really consider this more deeply, I think we can truly begin to see that our practice really and truly does matter. In Zen practice, we have our 16 Bodhisattva precepts. And these precepts, they really serve as a compass or a map that guide us in bringing our practice daily to a world where our practice matters. These precepts guide us in how we live our lives each and every day, in every single thing that we do, in everything that we encounter. And I want to share just a small excerpt. This is from Reb Anderson in talking about the Zen precepts. Reb Anderson Roshi says, "The 16 great Bodhisattva precepts are the gate to authentic Zen practice. They offer a way to bring the stillness and silence of sitting into active expression in everyday affairs, a way for compassion to enter all aspects of our lives. They are the life vein of upright sitting. These precepts are intended for those who dedicate their lives to the liberation of all beings." Shakyamuni Buddha and his successors agree that these precepts are not just moral or ethical imperatives or orders that are given by someone else and that we're supposed to follow. Rather, they are a map of Buddha's world, and through them, we can realize ourselves as Buddha. And so this is how we bring our practice of Zazen off of the cushion, off of the seat, and into our daily lives. It is a way, as Reb Anderson says, of bringing the stillness and the silence of our upright sitting into active expression in our everyday affairs, a way for compassion and wisdom to enter into all aspects of our lives. And we bring those aspects that we practice in meditation, those aspects of pausing or stopping, of calming the body, calming the mind, of examining, of investigating, of reflecting, of looking deeply at what we do, how we think, how we respond, as well as looking at what others do around us and how that affects each and every one of us. And we respond with skillfulness, with awareness, with wisdom, rather than from this conditioned habit of mind, this ego mind that often is simply reacting, reacting, reacting. Our practice guides us to take that pause, to look at our lives clearly and deeply, and to respond from a place of skillfulness. And that practice matters in a world that is so asleep, so conditioned to simply react from a place of unawareness. We often react from this place of unawareness, not fully aware of what we're doing, what we're thinking, what others are doing. Our practice is one of pausing, of stopping, of calming, and being fully attentive, fully present, fully aware to what we're doing, to how we are living, to how we are sharing our gifts with the world, how we are impacting the world around us. In just a short time, we will bring this evening's program to a close. We will recite the great vows together, and shortly after that, we will be on our way, each one of us going back home, wherever we go from here. But your practice, like my practice, does not end there, because our practice is a continuous practice. You take it with you wherever you go. You take it with you in whatever you do. Whether you're fully aware of this or not, your practice is always with you. And we take our practice into every aspect of our lives. We're always practicing this path. Or at least we always and in all aspects of our life are presented with the opportunity to practice. The choice is ours. And again, our choices, our actions impact the world around us, cause and effect. The question is, how do we choose to practice? How do we choose to live our lives? How are we bringing this practice fully alive each and every day? How do we bring it to life in everything that we do? in everything that we experience, with everyone that we encounter. How do we bring this practice to life? And this formal practice, like your practice when you go about your daily activities, this practice is one practice, one and the same. It is not two. There is no separation between the practice that we do here in the Zendo. There is no pra don't, no different no differentiation between our practice on the cushion, our meditation practice, our Zazen practice, and everything else that we do out in our daily life. It is one and the same practice. It is never two. And that practice, your practice, always matters.